Well, hello, church family. Welcome yet again to another episode here of Head to Heart, our podcast project here through Baker Heights Baptist Church. A little bit of a different type of episode today, Colin. I'm just going to jump right into the opening question. Bone-in or boneless wings for you?
Boneless wings.
No.
Yeah, they're like chicken nuggets, but
no.
Yeah.
I don't know if I...
I always get boneless wings from Buffalo Wild Wings, but I think the chicken is better in the bone-in wings.
It's not even I think. I mean,
well, I know
one
is, yeah,
one is chicken mashed nuggets.
Yeah, but it's hard because they're
and
so
paying,
easy.
You're paying
so
for easy. Nuggies. Wow. I thought we'd be in a resounding agreement, but turns out we're going to have to look to the scripture passages about disagreement between brothers, because bone-in only if you want to feel like you're actually eating food. Nuggies if you're just ready to be like, I hate myself and I need to put this in my body right
now.
Or
if you're a child.
And you shovel it. That's fair. But you said it. I didn't even have to say it. You're the one who said it. But by now, they're probably wondering what in the world is going on with our title.
Mm.
And those who were in church yesterday, we're recording this on a Monday, straight in. You guys are going to be a little bit more aware. But Pastor Raymond used the term. In fact, he used a term in his sermon regarding creation. It's kind of a long story to describe how we got there, but he's talking about eating the grass of the field, the idea here tying to creation and man's role to kind of cultivate. But I'm already diving into what you're supposed to do. Explain. Show what are we getting at with our title here?
He had a piece of bread and he broke it on stage. What an incredible, you know, object lesson.
Then he put it on my piano, putting crumbs all over my piano.
It was hard to play after that, right?
I struggled.
Anyway, the grass of the field raising up for wheat, which turns into bread, and he ties this to the bread of life and the bread of the Bible, of the Word of God. He went to the Matthew passage where Satan is tempting Jesus, and he says that, you know, we don't live by bread alone, but by the Word of God. Every word of God that comes from his mouth. So he ties that in. And so when we are talking about in this podcast episode of eating bread, we're talking about here are some practical ways you can go about, in a sense, eating your Bible and how you should read it and some things that maybe we do as your pastors and that we would like to share with you. Some of them might be helpful, some of them might not.
Not super formal, as you can probably already pick up on. Just some things that came to our mind as we consider.
And we're gonna give you six for a low price of $19.95.
So you can send it to the office here at church and make the check out to either one of us. Really, we'll cash that.
And wait, there's no more, just six of them. So Ben, you want to start with your first one?
Sure. So again, framing this along just some tips for reading our Bibles, what it can look like in the day-to-day. And in my head, I mean I'm at least for my three, my half here, I'm really just considering like devotional type of things. What happens? How do we approach the daily, the regular time in the Word, whether it's morning or evening, whatever? So my first tip, one thought, as you come to God's Word, don't be afraid to be reading for the long term, not necessarily the short term. And what I mean by that is simply we don't have to feel pressured every time we open God's Word for our daily devotions. Like, I don't need to be thinking that I need to find an incredible, you know, gospel nugget or a theological masterpiece of an observation. I need to find that this morning. And if I don't, I've failed my devotions. I've failed my time in God's Word.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't know if it's wrong to say this, but I would say that is rare. It can be rare to find some incredible, earth-shattering truth, as opposed to we get in God's Word and the regular consumption of the bread, regular of kind of imbibing of God's Word into our hearts and lives begins to build a theology. I know it's a fancy term, but builds. It just starts to like add up for a better way of thinking. It adds up over time, and you might find that something that came up in your devotions days ago, weeks ago, months ago, hits home for you that week fresh, or something God brings in your life. It's tied into just immersing ourselves in God's Word on the regular, and it builds up whether we see it or not, I would say. I think we begin to see it in the long term, not necessarily that short term. Not to dismiss the power of seeing something wonderful in that morning, and so often God helps us with that as well. So it's a tip, and also maybe just like an assurance, like don't be super concerned if you're, you know, not coming up with some incredible thing.
So you're telling me that you read something and then maybe like 3 years later, it connects and becomes that aha moment or that big, you know, revelation that you're talking about you don't need every day 3 years down the road.
Sure.
Because of something that you've been building, because you've been consistently reading, you've been building, like you said, a theology, and then this one aspect that you see in this verse for like, seems like for the first time, can just illuminates and, you know, raises all that other stuff that you've been.
Yes. Yeah, okay. I think so. That's good. I think so. And then also not like, I guess I envision it like long-term, it can be a slow burning observation at, like the, like months at a time of being like, man, I've been seeing certain gospel themes perhaps, over days and days and weeks and weeks. And then in my Bible reading, then I start to see them more in life around me. And it might not be a massive aha moment. It might be just a series of moments, but yeah, okay. I'm already going a long time on the first one here out of six, but yeah, again, that would just be,
they're going to have to pay extra for
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Tip one, again, don't be afraid to read for the long term, not necessarily for the short term.
Okay. That's good. I like that. All right. My first thing is, dissecting, verses. So I am Gen Z. I was just talking with a student actually yesterday about this very tip. And I have a short attention span because I'm, you know, been curated on short form entertainment. And I feel like we're getting that way as a culture. So Same. It becomes a problem. But anyway, so it affects my ability to read long, passages basically. So if you think of like Old Testament narrative, there's long passages you got to read to get the full context of everything going on. So something that's been super helpful for me is going to the New Testament, going to a gospel, going to an epistle, and then taking three verses and just reading them, maybe reading them multiple times, and then kind of just dissecting the grammar and looking at what the words are saying there. And it's super helpful because it often, the going slowly and dissecting it often points out things that you wouldn't have got if you just read over it quickly. Because we can often get trapped into, I read this as completion and did it to complete it. I read my Bible reading for today and I'm checking it off. And then with this dissecting, it's like, you might not even finish those three verses in the 15 minutes that you give to it in the morning or whatever. And you have to come back the next morning and do it again. And I like that. It's like, you know, you're getting at the core of what the message, what the Bible is saying in those passages. So don't be afraid to think, or don't think that you have to go and read 10 chapters of the Bible. And you didn't read the Bible unless you did that. Go in and read three verses and just tear it up.
Huge.
So.
Oh, that's excellent. Yeah. And then my mind goes to bite-sized because of our theme of eating bread. Yeah. Get bite-sized.
That's right.
Yeah, I love it. All right, so yeah, so far, tip number one was reading for the long term and not necessarily the short term. Tip number two, don't be afraid to take your time through even just smaller passages, dissecting the verses.
Yeah.
My second one here, number three, let's see how I want to phrase this. Tip number two for me, I guess just harness the power of simply slowing down, just slowing down and rereading. It is absurd how simple that is and how helpful it is. In other words, even if the word dissecting a text like worries you, you're like, oh, I don't know what that would mean, or I don't have the grammar skills, I don't know what that, I mean, even like before that, the step even before dissecting, the first step is just slow down as you read and then reread. And it is incredible how often I believe the Spirit gives a couple insights or observations or draws my heart to something that is beautiful and true according to God's character on just simply realizing how fast and how easy it is to just overlook, to look past, or especially with the more familiar passages, you know, think I've already heard this, or oh, I know this, and I overlook so much, I find.
Are you like pausing on every word?
Like, sometimes.
Or how would you do it?
That's true. I mean, sometimes it depends. I mean, if it's something like a psalm that is laid out in like poetic style, I find myself more drawn to that.
Right.
But when it's like, I mean, but if it's on the other hand, if it's one of the epistles in the New Testament where you almost find like theological gold nuggets word by word. It is almost like that. You're almost pausing on each word, like, right. What does grace mean here? What does the love one another mean here? You know, these kind of concepts, you are almost doing that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it really just applies everywhere. It's just taking your time.
It's not a race.
Yeah.
It's not a race, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And if it is, the turtle wins, not the hare.
Yeah, we know. See, we have this wisdom built in.
That's right. All right, my second one is kind of making reading the Bible more spiritual. And that sounds kind of weird, but this is... So the Bible in 1 Corinthians, it says that you can't understand it unless the Spirit allows you to understand. Like, the Spirit has to open your eyes to it. People that are saved can understand Scripture and comprehend it in a deeper way that someone, an unbeliever, can't.
Hmm.
That's what 1 Corinthians says.
Yeah.
And I find that to be true, because you can understand historical context, you can comprehend, you know, little bits of wisdom and stuff like that, but you can't get to the spirit of what is being said without the Spirit illuminating things for you. So when you sit down to read your Bible, you start with prayer, and you ask God to do just that. Open your eyes by the Spirit. Open the eyes of your hearts so that you can see the things that he wants to show you. And then enacting on what Ben just said, slow down, read it, reread it, take your time to read the words, and then meditate. Meditating is like chewing on food. You're tasting and you're kind of distinguishing different parts of the food and the ingredients that were put into it. So you need to meditate, slow down, and think on these things. Maybe even if you find a certain word, like grace, like he just said, think about the grace in your life, or think about some aspects of grace that you find elsewhere in Scripture.
Hmm.
So just meditating on it, chewing on it, and then contemplation, which is a little bit different than meditation. It's kind of like experiencing the words. So if you're reading about the love of God, you're asking God through prayer, through reading, and through meditation to help you experience that love. And I know that sounds odd, and it sounds like, what are you talking about? But that's like the spiritual aspect of reading Scripture.
Hmm.
Because when you read, supernatural things are happening. I mean, reading the Bible is a miracle. The Spirit has to help you decipher it. And God wrote it, and that's the Bible's DNA is supernatural, and yes. Then it changes you. 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians also says that it changes you into the image of Christ when you behold God's glory in his word. So this is very spiritual, and we are westernized, and we don't like spiritual things because we can't observe them, you know, completely.
Hmm.
And so read the Bible in a spiritual sense, through praying, rereading, meditating, contemplating. So
huge. Yeah. And what a strange kind of position we're in here. Cause we are, I think we're intending to give some assurance that the Bible is immensely approachable as Christians. Don't be scared of approaching it.
Yeah.
And there are these kind of simple quote unquote style tips, but also you're exactly right. Oh my word. We cannot lose sight of what we actually are doing. And I think that in itself is a helpful tip, because that helps remind me that it is incredible what we get the privilege of doing.
Mm-hmm.
We crack open the Word of God, and so often I need that reminder, especially at, you know, 6 a.m. when the work week is beginning, and I don't necessarily want to in those moments. So yes, excellent. My last one for me here is just, as you're reading, I just would encourage, be on the lookout for what I would call gospel realities or gospel connections. So when I mean the gospel, I mean finding whatever it is in your reading in that moment, if there are connections to the work and ministry and life and character of Jesus Christ, what he accomplished on the cross, whether it's in the Old Testament, something that is looking forward to his arrival, something in the New Testament, you know, referencing back to it, or wherever you may be, I could almost just pretty commonly say almost wherever you're at, you'll be surprised at how often you can find reference to whether it's themes or elements that point in some way to Christ. I guess I'm thinking so often in the Old Testament. I think it's easier to see that, of course, in the New Testament. But Old Testament, especially if you really are on the lookout, you'll be surprised. I was recently in a discussion at one of my life group times when our life group was meeting, and Susan Fraser was just she was sharing how encouraged she had been recently as she's in her Bible reading plan has her in Leviticus, and it was like as she even said that first, there's like audible groans from some of us like, oh man, Leviticus gets kind of rough to be in. And she was just genuinely overjoyed at how many connections she was seeing to Christ through the sacrificial system and these aspects that are found there. So anyway, that's just a little encouragement there that it absolutely can be done, even in Leviticus, yes. Or I would even say especially in Leviticus.
Is that what Pastor Raymond is doing on Sundays right now in Genesis 1?
Excellent point, yes.
I think he is.
Yeah, connecting.
He's doing stuff like that.
Yeah, so yeah, for those who have been...
7 days of blessing...
Yeah.
What was it? A couple of weeks ago, 7 days of blessing connected to Christ's redemption.
Yeah. Right? Well, and even, I mean, literally just yesterday, walking through the literal days of creation and then pointing out symbolic tie-ins, themes that are connected to the gospel, to God's character.
Crossing the chasm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was phenomenal.
It's good. So, yeah. So, I mean, listen to Pastor Raymond as he employs those things. And in my life group, which this is just a plug, you should be in life groups if you're listening. We talked about how connected the Bible is, and that's kind of what Ben is speaking about, the cohesiveness of the whole piece of bread here. And we talked about how, you know, when God is describing how to eat the Passover, he's talking about not breaking the bones of the lamb. And then in Psalm, you see David talking about none of the bones will be broken. And then you go to John and you see that Jesus was on the cross and none of his bones were broken. His legs weren't broken, right? And so so there's just seeing those things in the scripture. I mean, that's overwhelmingly encouraging to me when I see that. So anyway, so that's good. Yes. All right, my third one is very practical. Location is key. You should go to the same spot. And you should do it in the morning. I really think you should read your Bible in the morning.
I agree.
I think that's the best time to do it.
I know that can be a hot, you know, button discussion. I think there's exceptions, I know, with extreme schedules.
Yeah. But if you're on night shift, it's a little bit different, but you should read
your
Bible.
Boy, oh boy. Or even if you arrange it night schedule, whatever your first thing is when you...
Yeah, the start of your day. The start of your day.
I think that's mainly the main idea is just the start of the day. And I know I've had... Oh, man, I've discussed that with my friends over the years and things, but... Yeah. While we're just, you know, putting our finger on hot on plugs, that's what I would say too.
That's right. But I think it does depend. Like, you need to figure out when do I do my best work and give that time.
That's a good
to your Bible reading. So mine, most people would say the morning. So mine's in the morning, and I go to the same spot on my couch with this warm light coming from my lamp. I don't turn the, you know, brighter LED lights on. I turn the warm light on. So you have to have a warm light. It's probably biblical somewhere because they had candles, you know. Anyway, so you have to go to the same spot. And this sounds so odd, but clean that spot the night before. Because everything is going to distract you away from reading your Bible. And one of the things if it's messy in the morning, you're not going to read your Bible. Or you're going to, you know, skip out on some portions of your Bible reading because you're cleaning it or I don't know. So make sure you have a location that you go to. And you look at that location, you think, that's where I read my Bible. That's where I meet with God in the morning. That's where he shows me his glory in the scriptures. That's where I had... this gospel reality pointed out to me, and I was changed because of it. And that's where I've been reading my Bible for 3 years, and I've been reading for the long term, not the short term, like Ben was saying. So anyway, location is very important. And then also location in the text is very important. Knowing where you're at is very helpful. So if I'm in an epistle in the New Testament, I'm going to read that a little bit differently than I would read Genesis, for example. So like I told you about dissecting, I'm gonna move towards dissecting a passage in the New Testament in an epistle rather than, I'm not gonna do that with Genesis. I'm gonna read, you know, a whole chapter to get the whole context, the whole narrative there. And so just know where you're at and read, you know, giving way to whatever the genre is. Same as with Psalms and Proverbs and some of those wisdom books there in the middle too.
This has been great. And even as we're talking, I've like other things have been occurring to me So that there might be follow-up episodes later. But
you have a bonus? Do you have a bonus a tip?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you know, yeah, let me just, I'll call it a
connection. Is this one free?
Okay. Yeah, I'll connect it to my slowdown of rereading, because I think, in fact, truth be told, I meant to include it and I forgot, but in the slowdown and rereading type of concept, a huge help there is writing things out. So you can use a fancy word like journaling, which used to scare me because I'm like, I don't know if I journal. What is journaling? But the idea of just, when I just mean writing things out, whether it's writing out what you're trying to pray for, just writing out your observations slows you down, which helps me. At least me, helps me a lot. It forces me to slow down, and then I'm thinking through things. So that's a little bonus that occurs to me. A couple other things as well. I would say if any of these terms or concepts are confusing or you're not really quite sure on these things, there are so many resources you can find, whether it's books or other voices to learn from or having conversation with us and other Christians. I mean, just dig into it. I mean, we're not afraid to research, dive into, and find other things on our other interests. You know, we should be the same when it comes to looking at God's Word and learning to do so better, or more optimally, perhaps.
Right. Ben, do you think that you can do all of these tips? We talked about it. It's kind of like privately, individually. But can you do all of these in community?
In community? Ooh.
I want to say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Should you do all of them in community? And when I say community, I'm saying with other believers.
With other believers, yeah. With other believers. I mean, I think, just at a glance, we would just say this is what is exemplified through the teaching of God's Word in the local church context.
Sure.
I think that's good. Proper teaching of God's Word is going to involve this, and everybody's involved in it. So, yeah, short answer, yes. Yeah. Looking here.
Good. Well, guys, eat your bread.
Yeah.
And eat it daily. It's daily bread.
Mm.
And we need it. We need God to give it to us. It's so helpful for your own life and for the life of Baker Heights, right? Baker Heights is going to be healthier and stronger and more energized when we eat our bread together, right?
I like it.
So, all right, let me pray and ask God to help us with this. And then that will be the conclusion of this
bread-based episode,
and then we'll leave some recipes in the. I'm just kidding.
I will link the sermon from yesterday if you're curious as what inspired our title and topic. I'll link that in the show notes there.
Yeah, let me pray. Father, thank you for the daily bread that you give to us. Thank you for your word and that we can live by it. Thank you that we can see Christ in it. Thank you that you've revealed it to us and it's clear. And we can understand it, and you've given us the Spirit to help us comprehend these realities. I just pray that you would continue to cause us to go deeper and deeper into our Bible reading, that we would be consistent and faithful, on the lookout for gospel realities, slowing down to reread because we care about the words, dissecting passages of Scripture in order to gain a greater understanding. That we would be praying over it and meditating on it and contemplating your love in the Scriptures. Help us to do all these things and more. I just pray that you would use this podcast episode to encourage those that are listening, and that you would encourage the saints at Baker Heights because of this. It's in the name of Jesus that we can pray these things. Amen.
Amen.